This podcast is an adaptation of the live radio broadcast of On Wisconsin, containing just the discussion segment. Next time, to catch the whole episode, tune in every Sunday at 3 p.m. on 91.7 FM Madison or streaming worldwide on WSUM.org. Thank you and enjoy.
We are back. You are listening to On Wisconsin on WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. For those of you who are just tuning in, we are discussing the Police Advisory Committee this week. So on Wednesday night, ASM had a student council meeting. Yes.
Yeah.
And they passed a couple of different pieces of legislation, but the biggest one was the Police Advisory Committee, because I think a few days leading up to the student council meeting, there was a post on Instagram on one of the ASM accounts about, we need students to talk on behalf of this legislation. So I went to that legislation and it passed. It actually passed unanimously, and I have a recording from this meeting, so I will just very quickly play that for you right now.
Is there any objection to moving into a vote on the legislation? Hearing no objection, we'll move into a vote. We'll call for a roll call vote. Aikens.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Fisher. Gupta.
Aye.
Hagen.
Aye.
Harlan.
Aye.
Jacobson.
Aye.
Jahab.
Aye.
James.
Aye.
Bolazar.
Aye.
Livermore.
Aye.
Loken.
Aye.
Newman.
Aye.
Nichols.
Aye.
Nefsui.
Aye.
Olson. Ruprecht.
Aye.
Shriver.
Aye.
Wakely.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Zappia.
Aye.
Did I miss anyone? Legislation passes.
According to the legislation, UWPD Chief Kristen Roman created the UWPD Advisory Council, also known as PAC, a council of various UW-Madison community stakeholders tasked with advising and consulting the department's operations. It was formed in 2017. The UWPD Advisory Council has failed to meet since October 25th, 2023, and in March of 2024, 5 months later, PAC members were notified that the committee will not be meeting for the foreseeable futures. Other universities within the Big Ten possess some kind of police oversight council, which speaks to the need for campus-wide oversight of law enforcement for the security of college communities. The legislation calls for UWPD Advisory Council to revert back to its monthly meetings starting in August of this year, and as opposed to meeting once a month at 8:30 a.m., a time when students have difficulty attending, the meeting time for PAC will be determined via a poll that must be filled out by all members of the committee before a time is finalized. So at this forum, Landis Vargas, who was one of the authors of this legislation, spoke to me a few days afterwards about what it was like sitting in on the PAC meetings as the anti-violence coordinator for ASM, and about why he decided to pass this legislation.
I'm Landis Vargas.
Okay, and what are your pronouns?
I use he, him pronouns.
So, you are the anti-violence chair at ASM. What does that role look like in your own words?
Yeah, so essentially, I serve as a liaison between students, campus partners, administrators, basically various stakeholders on campus regarding violence prevention initiatives. So I, for example, work really closely with UHS Violence Prevention and Survivor Services and serve on an advisory board for them along with other student leaders on campus who work in violence prevention, specifically in sexual violence prevention. And so areas like that where I'm able to support student initiatives or support higher level initiatives related to violence prevention is kind of like where I operate from. Yeah.
Dude, your job is so cool. It must be very tough, but it's so cool that you get to do that kind of work.
Yes.
And also on Wednesday, you passed a new piece of legislation about the Police Advisory Committee, which you sat on the board for. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about the Police Advisory Committee?
Yeah. So essentially, it was The Police Advisory Council was created in 2017 by the former chief of UWPD, Kristen Roman. And essentially, the goal of the committee is to combine various stakeholders from different parts of the community. So there was staff from UWPD, there was faculty and staff, like educational faculty and staff, there was campus partners, and three students on this committee that essentially would meet once a month and would discuss various UWPD operations, initiatives, or updates that the chief had to share with us. And essentially, the chief had the power to convene the meeting. So they would send an email out saying, here's what we're talking about. And we'd basically spend an hour and a half just in discussion about what the what the chief had in store for that meeting. So it was a lot of just like discussing the operations, giving our two cents every now and then. Yeah, it was a lot of conversations.
Yeah. And you guys outlined this in the legislation, but we also heard from students at Open Forum that these meetings were really inaccessible. For example, meeting at 8:30 in the morning, being hosted on a platform that not a lot of people use typically. Can you tell me a bit more about what it was like sitting in on those meetings? Like, what was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, it's kind of speaking what you were mentioning. It was really inaccessible for me personally. In my experience, for context, I started this current position of anti-violence chair at the beginning of the spring semester last year. And so then when I assumed this role, I automatically was entitled to the spot on PAC because of the nature of my position. But even then, I couldn't be a part of the committee because I had a discussion on Wednesdays at 8:50 a.m. So I quite literally could not attend class and attend PAC without like sacrificing one for the other. And heading into this school year, I was able to attend a PAC meeting, and there were various technical difficulties. I attended virtually via WebEx because the only options available are at this 8:30 a.m. meeting are to attend either in person at the UWPD station or online via WebEx. And so I chose the online option because I live really far away from the UWPD station. There were a lot of technical difficulties, and it was really hard to gauge what was being said and like when it was my opportunity to share. It was especially pertinent for this meeting because it was part of the agenda was the introduction of the ASM representative. So like I didn't know when it was my time to share who I am, what my role is, how I can best be contacted. And so just the nature of the meeting and its inaccessibility made it more difficult to contribute to the space and made it more difficult to understand what the meetings actually could look like because it was just really just all around janky.
And have you and other students on PAC brought up your concerns about access in the meetings to the rest of the PAC committee?
Yeah, so we haven't actually brought that up to the committee. I know one of the other students on the committee is actually pretty involved with ASM, and it's kind of been a little like not a joke, but it's kind of been something between us that we just acknowledge since October, since PAC has stopped meeting, of like, oh, another month, another no PAC meeting, like when do you think we're gonna be able to meet next? And we haven't contacted the rest of the PAC committee members about the inaccessibility, but it is kind of like acknowledged between the students that there is a level of inaccessibility and just a level of lack of communication.
Yeah. Did you guys ever feel as though you couldn't bring your concerns to, I guess, some of the other members who sat on that committee?
Yeah, I honestly think so because I wasn't super familiar with really any of the non-students on the committee. Like I said, I was supposed to be on this committee last spring and I couldn't because of the time. And I'd only had the opportunity to attend the meeting in September. And so I was basically hearing about PAC from additional ASM representatives throughout the spring, so I was being educated on how the committee functions from like an outside perspective. And then I had this one meeting to gain an insider perspective, but I still wasn't really close enough to the other committee members to where I could bring these concerns to them or can even schedule meetings outside the context of PAC. Because I know, for example, there is someone on the committee who works specifically on the co-responder model, so working on sending mental health professionals alongside a police officer to mental health crises. And staff like, or part, people on the committee like that whose specialty is very niche and very important, like I found it hard to even connect with them and use PD or use PAC as kind of that like bridge because PAC in of itself was, wasn't a space that was very like accessible or like very involving of me and my, yeah.
Yeah, that must have been really frustrating, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably was not fun to deal with at all.
No, yeah, thank you for that, yeah.
I also saw in your legislation that you guys stopped meeting in October, and then in March, you guys were notified that the committee would no longer be meeting. So what happened during those 5 months? Were you guys just in limbo? Like, would you get communication like right before the meetings, like, hey, we're not meeting this month? Or like, what happened during those 5 months?
Yeah, so October was the last time, or sorry, October was the first time that we got a meeting cancellation notice. And then November, we were notified right before then, the scheduled November meeting that would be canceled again. In December, we got a longer email from the executive assistant to the UWPD chief saying that they're gonna take a pause on the meetings to reevaluate how they're conducting the meetings. And this means like reevaluating how we engage, implementing new practices in the committee, just ways in which to bolster engagement in the space. And they said that we're gonna pause the meetings and come back in March. Mm-hmm. So between December and March, there was like an expectation that there weren't going to be meetings. But then come March is when we got that email saying that we aren't going to be meeting for the foreseeable future. And that was after the police chief had, the former police chief, Roman, had resigned. So that surely played a role in it, in the committee's kind of dismissal, for lack of better words. So yeah, that's kind of like the communication that I've received throughout those the months in the timeline.
Yeah, and what were reactions from yourself and from other students who were on the board?
Yeah, so for me, I was just really confused personally, and I think that other students shared the same sentiment because we were just kind of concerned that there were just so many campus events that were going on, from controversial speakers and the protests that would align with the controversial speakers, and in turn, a police response to said protests and police response to said speakers. There was, for example, the neo-Nazi demonstration that happened a few months ago. There have just been several instances that have impacted the entirety of the campus that demand that were related to campus safety that we didn't really have any sort of clarity on in terms of like what PD's response looked like. And so to not have this space active during those times, when you as a student are experiencing them, it makes you feel kind of uneasy. And it's just like, okay, what's going on? And like, what's like, and just kind of being in that limbo of like, there's this space that we could be having these conversations, and we have had these conversations. Like, I know at the meeting that I went to, it was around the time when, I think it was right before Sister Cindy came, or after when Sister Cindy came, and like talking about like what police response looked like in that capacity. Like, they have historically done that, and they could have during these past few months, but they just didn't, and that just made the situation a lot more concerning and confusing as a student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure, and as you brought up, it seems like a lot of the students had concerns when you guys stopped meeting, but since you guys had officially stopped meeting, like, what was it like being in that space and realizing like, oh, if something happens, like, we won't be able to have this direct communication anymore?
Yeah, I feel like I do definitely want to acknowledge my power and privilege in regards to this, because I knew that because of my position as anti-violence chair, that I could leverage my positionality to get answers more quickly. For example, towards the end of last semester, ASM leaders in my committee wanted to meet with leadership from UWPD regarding a piece of legislation that we passed that wanted to make UW-Madison a sanctuary campus for trans and non-binary students. And so by the time I was able to get a meeting on the book with the former chief, the neo-Nazi demonstration had happened. And it was actually just me that was a part of the meeting because other leaders had scheduling conflicts. And so it was in that time where I was able to, we were able to discuss the legislation. And then at the very end, I was like, well, I have your time. Can we have this conversation? Because I know I'm personally really confused about the situation and the response, and I'm 100% sure that other students are in the same boat. And so I feel like throughout this process, I know that my position enables me to be able to be in the room with leadership from UWPD and get answers on specific situations. But for the everyday student who wanted to serve on this committee and who applied through the shared governance application, they don't necessarily have that opportunity that I do. And I feel like that's what really inspired me to write this legislation, is like students, the everyday student deserves to be in the know and deserves to consult and advise the UWPD and their operations, and they just haven't been able to, which has been really unfortunate, I think.
Absolutely. It seems like overall that sentiment is why ASM matters and why we need students to be in on these conversations, and so that there's not like a misalignment between like administration and like the higher ups in the university system and like us. Very important work that you guys are doing, and again, thank you for writing this legislation.
Yeah, thank you so much. I totally agree. Like, ASM does like have that unique power where we're bridging the gap of understanding between students and non-students, but also recognizing like students deserve to have a say in what culminates the student experience. And I just hope this legislation can work to continue to serve students best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, you guys passed this legislation on Wednesday. Congratulations again. But what are next steps? Like, what needs to happen in order for this legislation to actually be implemented and to become like a real thing?
Yeah, so I want to meet with Interim Chief Pilsch. To my knowledge, he has read the legislation and he has feelings one way or another about it. And I want to have a conversation. I don't want this to be, you know, kind of swept under the rug as like this big piece of legislation that we passed in the last meeting of the session and then to not be remembered. I want to have a conversation, and I want UWPD Advisory Council to go back to meeting, because we are entering this kind of new age of PD where we're looking to hire a new chief, and in doing so have the opportunity to leverage different solutions to problems that have permeated this campus for so long. And I feel like having students at the helm of these processes is really important. So I really just want to have that conversation, really ensure that as many of these demands are met as possible, so that students can rightfully have a seat at the table and have a sense of autonomy over how the police functions on this campus.
You, along with your co-authors, called for more students to sit on the PAC. Going along with that, can you tell me more about what you would like to see from PAC going forward?
Yeah, so some things that in the legislation that I included include the increase in amount of students on there. I want the anti-violence chair of ASM to serve as a co-chair of this committee. This was a suggestion by another wonderful ASM leader, Endemazia Fonkum, who served as a co-chair for a search and screen for the Associate Chancellor for Identity and Inclusion that was recently hired, Fernie Rodriguez. And she brought up how the importance of a student co-chair demonstrates, one, that students have an important hand in this conversation, but also having a say over the agenda and having a say over what these conversations kind of look like is really important. So that's one thing. Making meetings more accessible. So having some sort of neutral space that's not UWPD, that's not WebEx, that we can meet. Having that student quorum is really important, so making sure that we have a majority of students at every PAC meeting so that we can leverage that student voice as much as possible. These are just a few of the examples, but overall, I just want PAC to be, one, accessible for students, but another thing, just making it a space that students can feel comfortable to be in conversation with UWPD, because I know that's really difficult for a lot of students, and rightfully so, and I just want students to understand that they do have a say in the operation on this campus, and that they do have the right to speak truth to the institution that has wronged them, and that this distrust does not have to be as intense as it is right now, and that there are outlets to alleviate that feeling of neglect that students have been feeling. So that's kind of like my larger vision for this committee, I would say.
Yeah, it seems like you guys were very thoughtful and very thorough in your the legislation that you wrote, and I could tell that even just like from reading it. So yeah, again, like thank you for all the work that you do. I'm sure it's not easy at all, especially because you care about the work you do so much. So yeah, also thank you for talking to me about this.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the space, and I'm just really honored to be in community with so many wonderful student leaders. I've had the opportunity to be in conversation with so many people throughout this process, and honestly, like the reason why I'm not like running on empty now is because I've been poured into by so many wonderful, intelligent leaders who have given me advice, who have contributed to this legislation, who have supported my outreach efforts, and have really just given me so much confidence to do something like this. And I just feel like I'm just really endlessly grateful to be surrounded by so many wonderful people who support me on a day-to-day basis. And it's just, yeah, I'm just really happy that this legislation turned out the way that it did, and I'm really happy that student council unanimously supported it. This is not a product of just my efforts, but of so many different people who are currently here with us, or just previous student leaders who have pushed for changes in how we view law enforcement on this campus. And so I stand on the shoulders of many, and I really hope that those who come after me can look at something like this and really be inspired, just like I was.
Absolutely. I mean, even before this year, I didn't know a lot about what ASM did. I was just like, oh, that's the organization with like the bus passes and like who gives money to RSOs. But now, like learning about legislation that you guys passed, things like shared governance, for example, this, it's really made me realize like, oh, like we need student government, like we need student representatives to be like advocating on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the work you guys do is just amazing, and it really takes like I feel like a specific kind of person to be able to do it well, be able to do it intentionally.
Yeah, like, and that's like part of making this legislation was like knowing what ASM's bread and butter is, and part of that is, like you said, shared governance. And for a lot of people, that including myself, when I first started participating in ASM, that concept is really confusing of like, what is this state statute, and like what did this mean in practice? And so like trying to spell it out clearly, like here's what this can look like, and trying to break this large concept down so that the everyday student or the everyday person can understand what the significance of it is. And so, yeah, I just really was trying to make it something so uniquely ASM, and really, like you said, like augment the importance of student government in this space. And so, yeah, I really hope I was able to do that with this legislation.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you'd like to share, like any final thoughts about, I don't know, ASM, the legislation you've passed, thoughts about, I don't know, anything in general?
Yeah. So I guess like I just encourage students to continue to push for change that they want to see on this campus. I've been endlessly inspired by seeing so many wonderful activists on this campus. And the work that they do directly inspires the work that I do. And so just to all the students out there who are looking to advocate for change on this campus, to keep pushing the envelope, to keep thinking critically about the world and the institutions that function in this world, because we can collectively create some meaningful change. And I'm really excited to see what comes of it. Yeah.
If you'd like to read the Reimagining UWPD Advisory Council legislation, it's available on the Associated Students of Madison website. Thank you for listening to On Wisconsin News, reported by Badgers for the rest of Wisconsin. I'm Hee-Won Lim. Thanks again. Tune in next week.